Clean, safe, local. Your home for business is the Village of Bedford Park. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, midweek, Wednesday afternoon, December 11th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Inflation ticked up again last month, as you heard Nancy say. We'll talk about that in our next segment. But first, if you're counting on a year-end bonus, hopefully you won't be disappointed like Clark Griswold was in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
What is it?
It's a one-year membership in the Jelly of the Month Club.
Oh, God.
Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Now, Cousin Eddie was right, to be fair. While it shouldn't be anyone's go-to for financial advice, it does remind us how not to spend a holiday bonus. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Ed Jertsen, certified financial planner and founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago, and past national president of the Financial Planning Association. Find him online, engagewealthgroup.com. Ed, thank you for joining us today. And for those of you, that handful of Americans who have not seen National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Clark Griswold, Chevy Chase, wanted to spend his Christmas bonus from his boss, Frank Shirley, on an in-ground pool once the weather turned warmer. Now, obviously, Ed, you would counsel against blowing a bonus on something like that, but one could argue that an in-ground pool would boost the resale value of the Griswolds' home when they finally maybe sold it or downsized.
Yeah, Rob, great to be with you. I think this is a great case where we want to be careful that art does not imitate life. What you never want to do is pre-spend what you think might be coming. And whether that's in a bonus or inheritance or anything like that, you know, be very judicious. Once that check is in hand and once it hits your account, then start thinking about spending things. But, you know, starting out with a pool sounds great, but there's probably better opportunities for your listeners in a way to make these monies work a lot better for you, not only in the short run, but in the long run.
And then generally, is there research on the average size of a holiday bonus? I mean, does the typical worker, do they get a holiday bonus of just a couple of $100, maybe $1,000, or maybe they hit a goal for the year and it's in the $10,000 or $20,000 range?
Yeah, bonuses, Rob, as you most likely know, range everywhere, depending on what industry you're in and what element and what your job is and things like that. So from that standpoint, those bonuses can be all over the board. But what's more important is for your listeners to think not all or none, like I'm going to spend all of this or I'm going to save all of this. But you know what? Treat yourself first. Celebrate hard work. When you do get that bonus and it does hit that account, celebrate and do something. But keep it within reason. You know, one of the things we often guide people when money comes in unexpectedly, or, you know, most likely expectedly with a bonus, is, you know what, look at what your financial landscape is. Do you have high interest credit card debt? And if you do, it's not a great package to bow, you know, a bow and a wrapper, but you know what, pay down that high credit card debt first. Your future financial self will thank you for that. And if you keep finding yourself on this yo-yo, Rob, of, you know, you pay off your credit card debt and it comes back up, you know what, focus on a spending plan in 2025 and get off of that wheel and really start to help yourself financially in the future. So a great way to start, again, pay down that high interest debt, but also spend a little for yourself and celebrate. Keep that in mind.
Ed, I was going to ask you, what can you do with various flavors in a Jelly of the Month Club? But unfortunately, we're out of time. So the next segment, we'll talk about how we can make boysenberry work for you. Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. Find him online at theengagewealthgroup.com. Coming up, inflation ticks higher as the Federal Reserve eyes another rate cut.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Inflation climbs higher as the Fed considers another rate cut. Joining us with details is Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Gus, thank you for joining us today. The Consumer Price Index increasing 2.7% in the month of November compared to a year ago. The core CPI a little hotter. What does this mean as far as the overall fight against inflation is concerned?
We are making progress in the fight against inflation, but it's slow progress, and I think things will be bumpy, for the next 6-9 months or so. One good piece of news is that we're seeing much slower growth in housing costs, and that should translate into lower inflation in 2025. So I think the news is things are getting better, but it's going slowly.
And then just goes to show you once again that that last mile to that 2% target is the most frustrating.
That's right. And the Federal Reserve has indicated that they recognize that, that they are certainly concerned about the potential for an uptick in inflation. We don't see that right now, and we don't think that that's going to happen. But we will see some months where we make more progress on inflation and some months where we see less progress.
And there was a little bit of a bounce back in grocery prices, and I feel like we need to talk about that just because it turned out to be so politically potent a month ago, people's experience at the grocery store. And in some areas of the grocery basket, we could blame bird flu for causing some price increases, especially when it comes to the cost of eggs.
That's right. We saw grocery prices up about 0.5% for the month. That's a big monthly increase. That being said, you know, we do see that grocery prices are flat, slightly down on a year ago basis. And we tend to see a lot of volatility in grocery prices. That's one of the reasons why the Federal Reserve focuses less on overall inflation and more on core inflation, which excludes food and energy. So I think that we will see, slower food inflation going forward, but certainly it's a politically charged topic.
And then when it comes to the Fed meeting next week to potentially cut interest rates by another 0.25%, the Fed governors, they're in their blackout period. They can't say nothing to nobody right now until they have their policy meeting next week. But does this complicate or change the math for the Fed governors when they do ponder that interest rate cut?
I don't think so. I think that this report was in line with expectations. So I think that the Fed participants were expecting a report like this. I do think that the trend overall is for slower inflation. And given that, I would expect to see the Federal Open Market Committee cut that Fed funds rate by 0.25% when they meet next week.
Housing also is turning out to be especially stubborn when it comes to the Consumer Price Index. And even though there's some signs that the price of housing is leveling off, what is the driver here? Is it elevated mortgage rates resulting in elevated mortgage payments on a monthly basis, or is it higher rents, or is it both?
It's primarily the higher rents. The way that the Bureau of Labor Statistics calculates the Consumer Price Index, both for apartments but also for home ownership, is based on rental costs. And then in November in particular, we saw a big jump in hotel prices. So when we look at shelter, housing, excluding hotels, that actually looked a lot better. But hotel prices can be volatile, and that's a reason for the acceleration that we saw in November. That's less of a concern.
And you don't really need the government, Gus, to tell you about the cost of hotel stays. I think anybody who has looked at, tried to book a vacation can tell you that hotels are rather expensive. America is on the move, and as a result, that night in a hotel or maybe that airline ticket is a little more pricey compared to a year ago.
That's right, and that's an indication that the economy is doing well, right? That people are traveling, that they feel comfortable staying in a hotel, that hotels are able to increase their prices. So that's an indication of the strength of the economy, but it does translate into higher prices for travel.
Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Thank you for joining us today, helping us break down the latest Consumer Price Index report. Coming up next, Chicago Restaurant Week returns in January, and we've got the details.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Chicago Restaurant Week returns next year from January 24th to February 9th. Joining us with a preview is Sam Toya, President and CEO of the Illinois Restaurant Association in Chicago. Sam, thank you for joining us today. And I always say that Chicago Restaurant Week is perfectly timed because once December 26th rolls around, the cold and snow goes from being charming to dreary. And Restaurant Week is something to look forward to in the dead of winter.
That is really true, Rob. That's right. And don't forget, we are the culinary capital of the United States. So, you know, we want your listeners to definitely check out Restaurant Week from January 24th to February 9th, 2025 here in Chicago.
And this is perfectly timed for the restaurant business as well, because for the restaurant industry, once the holiday season's over, once all those holiday parties wrap up, it's kind of a slow time until we get to spring. And this is a really interesting and innovative way to get people into restaurants from all different cultures and types of food and culinary traditions to sample what they have.
That's exactly right. So, you know, obviously January is one of the slowest months of the year here for restaurants. So Restaurant Week is perfect. It goes from, again, like you said, the 24th of January to the 9th of February, right before Valentine's Day. So it works out perfectly. And we have over 470 participating restaurants this year from 35 neighborhoods here in Chicago, and also 50 suburban restaurants are participating this year as well.
And you're already preparing for this, and this is over a month away. And how does a restaurant prepare for Restaurant Week, especially now with the holiday rush underway?
Right. That's a good question. So what the restaurant owner, operator, chef do is they put a special menu together. Obviously, it's sponsored by Choose Chicago. The Illinois Restaurant Association works with Choose Chicago because it's all about putting diners in seats in January, as you mentioned earlier, slow time of year. But again, the chefs of these restaurants are putting special menus together, and then we start promoting it right after the holidays, right after the first of the year, to get people to participate in Restaurant Week here in Chicago.
And then, Sam, the restaurant space, it seems like it was yesterday, Sam, when you were at City Hall and I was covering that news conference when they were talking about beefing up delivery options, because we all had to start closing restaurants because of this thing called COVID-19. The restaurant business has really taken its lumps and has gone through a lot of, you know, ups and downs, peaks and valleys since that time in March of 2020. But how's the space doing right now? It seems like it's kind of back to where it was.
Yeah, it's getting better. It's getting better. We still don't have as many customers coming in. Obviously, sales are, you know, what they were in 2019, but people going into the restaurant are not quite there yet. We know that inflation over the last, you know, 3-4 years has been almost 25-30% people have seen. So it's, you know, I used to say the restaurant industry before the pandemic was an industry of nickels and dimes. Since the pandemic, it's turned into a business of pennies and nickels. So again, we're not quite out of the, you know, out of the woods here, but it's getting better. It's getting better. And that's why we're promoting Restaurant Week from the 24th of January to the 9th of February, because we want to get your listeners to try some of our great restaurants in neighborhoods like Pilsen and Little Village and Hyde Park and Logan Square and Lakeview and Lincoln Park, to name some neighborhoods.
Sam Toya, President and CEO of the Illinois Restaurant Association, thank you for joining us today. Still ahead, Personal Finance Wednesday, how you can make sure you don't outlive your money.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Chicago City Hall has cleared out following a fire alarm. It's Personal Finance Wednesday. Tips to ensure that your money lasts well into retirement, plus some tips to avoid missing payments this holiday shopping season. Business, the markets are higher. The Dow is up 64 points, NASDAQ up 357, and the S&P 500 up 58. We have cloudy skies right now in Chicago. 32 at O'Hare, west wind 14 miles an hour, gusting to 22. It's 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, Chicago City Hall evacuated this morning after reports of a fire. You've been hearing about the impact on traffic in streets around City Hall. WBBM's Craig Delamore, our political editor, is there live, joins us with the latest. Craig, how did this whole thing come down?
Well, what we understand is that it was on the county side, and we should say City Hall and the county building. Had to be cleared out. Then on the county side, there was a small electrical fire that was relatively quickly extinguished, but it happened while business was underway, and they had to evacuate the buildings. Fire alarms went off everywhere, and a city council meeting was underway, and they also had to evacuate the spectators for that. Relatively smooth evacuation. Those of us who were in the lobby at first could smell a bit of smoke, but people were outside for more than half an hour, almost 45 minutes. City employees are being allowed back in right now. The Alder people were allowed in first, and we are hearing announcements to say that the fire incident has been resolved. So things will be slowly getting back to normal after people standing out in the cold for quite a while here at City Hall. And I assume at some point the city council meeting will resume.
Now, I was going to ask you, Craig, because the city council is deliberating on that $17 billion budget proposal. Is that going to change their schedule for the day?
Almost certainly not. And I'll tell you why, because what was supposed to happen with the budget today was that it was going to be, to use the technical term, deferred and published. But basically, it's a procedural move that sets up for the real vote, which will occur on Friday.
WBBM political editor Craig Delamore live at City Hall. Thank you for the update on that small electrical fire on the county, the Cook County building side of City Hall on LaSalle Street. No one hurt, it sounds like, and the all clear has been sounded. People are being let back into the building. It's 12:33 as the noon business hour continues. Stocks are trading higher today. Let's get the very latest now on what's moving Wall Street with J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago, joins us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home. JJ, thank you for joining us today. And how are markets reacting to that consumer price index report?
Well, you know, they absolutely love it, if we're going to be honest. We saw the NASDAQ cross 20,000 for the first time. You're seeing the S&P 500 future is back above 6,100. The cash itself just below there. So overall, just a big day for the market in general. You know, Dow up over 400. So the primary reason is that inflation ticked up slightly, and the reaction to it in the market for the possibility of a rate cut, which is now at almost 95%.
I was going to say, it sounds like this is the type of inflation report that wouldn't derail the momentum towards that interest rate cut for next week. But I saw another interesting trend, though, going back to jobs reports, and that there are tangible trends that show that hiring, or at least the pace of hiring, is slowing down. And does that weigh, or does that loom larger in the minds of the Fed governors than the consumer price index, the PPI, or even the PCE report?
Well, you know, the employment report is, you know, as Keith Jacks used to say, the granddaddy of them all, and that everybody always pays more attention to that than anything. And I think that combined, so the CPI that came out this morning is more supporting evidence, if you will. I think you're bringing up a really great point, though, Rob, why that maybe have a little bit of a suspicious eye to the CPI report, and that is one of the things that happened is cars purchases went up significantly because of some hurricane damage, et cetera, and people going out and having to replace cars. And number two, people buying perhaps some big-ticket items, getting ahead of what they may view as possible tariffs on some of those. So I do think that there is a little bit of perhaps I don't want to say falseness in the numbers, but numbers that may be not sustainable going through time. And as you mentioned about the employment report, that's one you have to keep your eye on significantly. And I always, what I didn't see in that report that I always like to see is the kind of growth in manufacturing, construction. Those where I want to see jobs. Where I'm always a little bit leery is when you see a lot in the service industry. Not that, you know, many of us haven't attended a bar or served somebody food or whatever it may be, but those tend to be more just jobs and not careers.
Tech drove the NASDAQ past the 20,000 threshold. And are we going to see, at least as far as the NASDAQ is concerned or in the tech space, once you clear a new record, that maybe there's a little bit of a pullback that people will try to get out while the getting's good?
Well, I think there's a psychological pullback there that may happen overall. And you did have, you know, you have a stock like Tesla up 3% today. You're seeing really good numbers across the board today. You're seeing Amazon have, you know, a day where it's up well over 3.5-4%. So across the board there, you're seeing the Magnificent Seven pretty much perform as you would expect. When NASDAQ continues to go higher, I think the bigger question may be as we go forward, do people use this last couple of weeks of the year after perhaps next Friday when we have quadruple expiration and all that? The following weeks, what worries me is do people say, you know what, I know what tax rates are now. It's been a phenomenal year. Do I take some of this off and book the profits in this year, because 2 years of 20% in a row we haven't seen since 1998. So I think to have that expectation going forward is a little bit ludicrous, to be honest with you.
J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Personal Finance Wednesday, as life expectancy increases, ensuring your money lasts is critical to a successful retirement.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
As people live longer, the risk of running out of money in retirement is becoming a bigger concern than ever. We welcome in Craig Bolanos, founder of VestGen Wealth Partners in Inverness in Downers Grove. Find him online at GetRetiredStayRetired.com. Craig, thank you for joining us today. And I came across a remarkable sentence this morning, and I'm sure you have seen it as well, out there in the social media ether. And that is, right now, today, someone born at this moment, maybe when we're speaking, is going to live to be 150 years old. And not only is that a remarkable testament to the power of science and medical technology, but that is also quite a challenge from a financial planning perspective, because it seems like, Craig, a lot of our retirement math is built around an actuarial model that was established 60 years ago when people lived maybe into their 70s.
You know what? If we want to get retired and stay retired, planning for 30 years is one thing. Planning for what could be 80 years or more is something else. But, Rob, that's our future state. I think we're talking about what everyone should do right now. And my first tip, Rob, if we want to get retired and stay retired, is let's start being realistic about our expenses. The biggest problem, Rob, is people fib to themselves just to make the numbers work. That's a non-starter.
It seems like when we have the retirement discussion, it's always, well, what do you want to do when you retire? And you imagine that your lifetime of savings will go to travel. It'll go to all of these experiences that you couldn't have when you were shuttling kids here, there, and everywhere, or going to work. That's the fun part. And then the not so fun part is who's going to take care of you at the end. And there's a middle point in between those two. Axes. And how do you break down that conversation?
Well, what you're really talking about is this. Ultimately, it's going to be about needs versus wants. And yes, you just introduce something else, which is what I call continuity of care, what I call long-term care planning, which is the avalanche issue in retirement strategy today, because the numbers are daunting, the age wave demographics are large, and there's no easy solutions. But when you're intellectually honest about your needs and your wants, you actually have a real handle on what your budget can be and should be, and you start doing simulations to find the right sustainable withdrawal rates, Rob, most people can solve for anything once they're empowered with the information.
And one good rule of thumb about withdrawal from your retirement account once you're retired, that's the 4% rule. So if you're sitting on top of a cool $1 million, that's $40,000 a year. Now, that's before Social Security or maybe some sort of pension you may have vested into in a long ago job. But 40 grand, that's what you got to live on if you have $1 million saved up.
Yeah, the 4% rule is proven. The 4% rule, dare I say, is tested in the trenches. And there's talk and discussion that maybe it should be modified for future longevity, modified depending on where inflation and interest rates are going to be. But I think it's a great starting point for anybody who's trying to determine the feasibility for their retirement. But Rob, the most important thing is people shouldn't anticipate that the last 5 years of their portfolio growth is going to be equivalent to the next 5 years. That's where I think it comes back to people being honest about how much they can actually spend. And the 4% rule is a great starting point. I'm happy you brought that up.
And then very quickly, the IRS is also making it easier for you to pad your retirement account, especially if you're over the age of 50 but not quite ready to hang it up.
Huge news. I think a lot of people know that if you're over the age of 50, there is catch-up contributions you can make to an IRA, you can make to a workplace plan like a 401k. But the bigger news is in 2025, catch-up contributions grow dramatically. Once you hit the age of 63, those catch-up contributions next year grow all the way to $11,250. That can go a long way to making up a gap in someone's retirement plan if they're disciplined and committed to follow saving strategies.
Craig Bolanos, founder of VestGen Wealth Partners in Inverness and Downers Grove. Find him online, getretiredstayretired.com. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday, and still to come, reasons to keep an eye on your credit score this holiday season.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
With the holiday season in full swing, keeping an eye on your credit score could help you avoid missed payments, overspending, and potential identity theft. Joining us with some key advice is Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst, Bankrate.com, based in New York. Ted, thank you for joining us today. And most Americans are probably wearing out the magnetic stripe on their credit cards right now, especially given the compressed time horizon we have this holiday season, late Thanksgiving, just a three-week sprint to Christmas time. Why is it important to keep an eye on your credit score, especially now?
Your credit score is one of the most important numbers in your financial life. It's going to go a long way toward determining whether or not you're approved for loans and lines of credit. It's really important to guard this because negative information can stick with you for up to 7 years. So if you slip up, you make a late payment, that can have a big effect. Credit utilization is important too. Credit you're using divided by credit available to you, especially around the holidays. It's easy to watch those balances go up. A good fix there is to make an additional payment in the middle of the month and knock that balance down before the statement even comes out. It helps your credit score, and it helps keep you on budget and limit your interest expense, too.
Now, I'm sure most people are aware of the fact that there is almost like a live, real-time credit score tracker on your credit card app or website. It can tell you how you're doing, and it's updated like every week or so. Is that accurate? Is that close to accurate? Is that something that you should rely on?
It should be close, at least. The thing is, we all have many different credit scores. There's kind of a misconception that there's only one. It's kind of like different operating systems on a phone or computer. You know, FICO and VantageScore are the two main credit scoring models, but even within that, you know, there's different versions. There's the three different credit bureaus. The general rules of the road are the same. It's pay your bills on time, keep your debts low, show that you can successfully manage various types of credit over the long haul. It is important to look at all three bureaus periodically. I would suggest going to annualcreditreport.com. Contrary to the name, you can actually get a free report every week from each bureau. That's a little overkill. You don't need to do it every week, but you know, maybe every few months you pull Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion reports, and you just make sure. I mean, in theory, they should line up, but sometimes one has an error and the others don't, or, you know, something like that. It's important to practice regular maintenance of these.
And then very quickly, Ted, when it comes to identifying potential identity theft, should you put a fraud alert on your credit report just so you know if someone's trying to take something out in your name?
I like the idea of freezing your credit. So that's something you can do with each of the three bureaus. That's not going to affect your existing payment cards, so you still want to check for fraud on those. But it will prevent the bad guys from opening new accounts in your name. So a credit freeze is a good free tactic that you can do with all three credit bureaus.
Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst, Bankrate.com in New York. Thank you for joining us today.